You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth. OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk.
Dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to the fish tank right here on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Seth Levitt, OJ McDuffie, man with the best hands in the business, and definitely the best hands in the podcast business, Juice.
What's up, big Seth?
What's going on, man? How you holding up in this thing?
Hey, man, I'm doing pretty good, man. You know, I got these badass kids running around, man. But
we
other
all
than
have
that,
a few of those.
Good, man. Everything's good.
I'm glad you're doing all right. DJ Preach, always with us. And Juice, when we decided we were going to do this thing 2 years ago, I had a short list of guests. And this guy, I mean, I've been trying to get him to South Florida for 2 years. He basically told me he had too much shit going on, but he was going to make it down here. The world has changed a little bit. We're all sitting here on Zoom and found a different way. But Ray, Lukey Luke, Ray Lucas, welcome to the tank, man.
Thank you, man. Man, it's good to see both of y'all. It's been a minute, great, man. It's been a long minute, actually.
Too long.
What's good, Luke?
No, it's all good. I mean, not really, but it's, you know, for a dude to be in the house with four women and the house ain't that big, Juice, it's good enough right now. It's good enough.
You're holding up all right?
Yeah, I'm holding. I'm holding it down, you know.
Jesse's good. The girls are good.
Wifey's good. Girls are good. It's just, you know, when you have that many people and, you know what I mean, where you can't escape. I mean, I'm an executive director of a housing in my town, so I get to go to work for a couple hours every day. Even if I ain't got no work, I get the fuck up out of here. You know what I mean? So
they're calling me, babe. It's
you know what I mean? So let's hope my wife ain't watching this fucking podcast. I know that much.
Yeah, well, we'll save it for a couple months here.
We'll buy
you a little time. Before we get too deep into this thing, I think it's critical for our listeners that we go over something so that, because, you know, I think that there's something I like to call Lukey language. You know, and so I don't want people to miss some things that have things go over their head. So there's a few things I wanted to go through.
Okay, hit me.
Yeah, so the first one is, of course, so we got to start with the dome piece.
Yeah.
What's the dome piece?
This is the dome piece right here.
Right. Now, if somebody crosses, that's the whole piece. But if somebody crosses, Lukey, we got to split the dome piece to the...
We split the dome piece to the white meat. You know, you ever get hit so hard, Juice knows, you ever get hit so hard where you get cut and it's white and it don't bleed right away?
Right. Right.
That's how I hit. I hit you to the white meat. I'm going right to the white meat. Yeah.
Split to the white meat.
Yeah.
And if that happens, then you might be spitting.
What?
Spitting what? Ketchup.
Ketchup. you're gonna be spitting ketchup. I mean, but again, you know, I'm trying to change. I'm getting older, and I don't want to get my ass kicked no more. You know what I mean? Back in those days, you know, just when you were playing, I was in shape. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To throw down with just about anybody. Now I'll just be like, you know, my wife's like, hey, you ain't fucking 26 no more, boy. You better watch yourself.
You might be spitting ketchup.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. So, Juice, when I called Lukey to see if he would do this interview, he was all fired up, and he was ready to split somebody to white meat, and it was his neighbor. Tell me what'd your neighbor do with the garbage?
Oh, so like, you know, I'm a Jersey boy. You know, I'm the dirty. I mean, you know, I'm true all the way around. So, of course, you got cameras around the house because, you know, people like to help themselves to shit that ain't dirt. So, I'm going into my – my wife says, hey, we're missing a damn garbage can. I said, what? What the fuck do you mean we're missing a garbage can? So, I go on to tape the video, and somebody literally stole my recycling bin. So, the camera goes across – I have it, like, set up so it goes across the street. This motherfucker lived across the street, Juice. I was like, dude, if you're going to steal something, you don't steal something from somebody across the street.
Right.
You might go down a couple blocks. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on? So I had to go over there and then, you know, get the can. But, you know, sometimes shit happens. Whoop came and you know, they thank God I'm in Harrison, my hometown. So they're like, come on, man, Luke. I said, the motherfucker stole it. He lives across the street. He took it from across the street. And he was like, did you take his can? The dude had his
name on it, right?
Yeah, he scratched out my friggin', you know how you put your addresses? He scratched mine out and put his shit right next to it. I said, man, get the fuck. It almost to the white meat, Juice. It was almost to the white meat.
Almost to the white meat. Okay, so he will not fall into this category, but who are your aces? When you say your aces, what does that mean for Luke?
My aces probably right now are are the same. You know, it's wifey, it's the kids, man. It's you know, when you go through what we go through in the NFL, and then, you know, 15 knee surgeries later, 4 neck surgeries later, it's not easy. You know what I mean? And I missed the game. I mean, you know what? When people ask me a lot, Luke, man, like, what do you miss the most about the game? And it's the locker room for me. You know what I mean? And my Nike contract, because that shit, is, you know, now I got to pay for shit, so that ain't good. But I miss the guys. You know what I'm saying? I miss the guys. So my aces are, you know, who they always been. My boys are, I'm still with, you know, my best friends are still the same from when I was there to when I'm here now. They're my brothers. So my ace team is, she's downstairs. She's working from home and stuff. So it's got to be wifey and the kids, man.
Love it. So there's the aces. You mentioned the dirty jurors, so we know what that is now.
Well, you know how we do.
There it is.
That's awful. You know, that is awful.
What you mean, Juice?
That's just terrible. That R is just.
Listen, don't hate it. Terrible. I know where you went to school. You know what I mean?
I know.
I don't want to talk about college right now.
We're going to get into that in a minute.
Are we going to get into that in a minute?
Yeah, we're definitely going to get into that in a minute.
Be careful, though, because my boy, Greg Schiano, is back. So it ain't going to be too long before, you know, we might drive up to Pennsylvania, put a whoop ass on somebody who deserves it.
Well, with your third string guys out of Jersey, we get all the first and second string guys. Okay.
All right. Well, we're gonna get into that in a minute. I want to get through a few more of these things. So your big boy diapers.
Yeah, big boys.
What happens when someone's got to put on a big boy diapers? What's that mean?
It's time to man up, man. It's time to get going. You know what I mean? If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. You know, big boy diapers are when the shit is hitting the fan, you either rise or you sink. I mean, that's it. I mean, you know, like, and you know, Seth, I mean, you've been in, when I was at the Dolphins, you were in the media department. See, it's sink or swim, man. Like you said, you either shark or you bait.
Right.
Which one are you going to be? Put your big boy pants on. It's time to go.
There it is. So those are the big boys. Now, this one's one of my favorites, and this is very specific to Lukey. If you're getting your Joe Robbie on, what does that mean?
That means you get your sweat on. You get your sweat. You know, when I was at Rutgers, we up here freezing your ass off, you know, for so many months. Go down there and get Joe Robbie on. Boy, that sun come out. Juice, like, look, is this Juice smiling? Look at it. It's hot as hell out here. You get your Joe Robbie on, you getting your lather up. You lathering your shit up a little bit. You know what I mean, Juice?
Yeah.
He came down and said, getting your Joe Robbie on. Of course, an ode to the original name of what is now Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah.
But the Joe Robbie Stadium, which, you know,
we're
a little bit, Luke.
Well, I will say, my parents came to watch me play at Miami. And when I was in college, and, you know, the guy, you know, you used to be able to park across the street and stuff with the people's houses. His rental car was stolen. I'm just saying. I ain't saying much. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying.
Juice had a similar experience in college when he came down here. But right, they went after the head coach's family.
They did. They
no.
Got him on the beach.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah. Got robbed on the beach.
See, that's cold game, man. You're supposed to be relaxing on the beach, not getting robbed.
Yeah, the worst part of it, Luke, is that I found out some of those guys went to my high school. that's a whole different –
Well, now, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, though, Seth. I mean,
the dots start to connect for sure.
Yeah, all right.
This is the last one for Lukey language. If you're getting your Joe Robbie on, and maybe you don't have the best hygiene, you might smell like hot garbage, but not just hot garbage, but hot garbage on a windy day.
Hot garbage on a windy day. You know what I mean? That means when your stank travels. You know what I'm saying? That wind pick it up, blow it up your nose and shit. You know, when you stand next to somebody, like I worked in the city for 8 years, I was executive in there. And start smelling that sub, that onion shit, it's time for you to move or me to move, one or the other. And it ain't going to be me. I'll tell you that.
So there it is. So that way our listeners, you know, if they don't remember,
if they don't hit the turn around,
I want them to be able to navigate this interview and be able to follow. So we're good. We got Lukey language covered.
Hey, Lukey, speaking of the dirty jurors, man, I know a lot about that area, obviously. You know, I went to school right next to that place right there, man. But let's talk about you a little bit of your background, you know, the different experiences you had. I mean, you decided to stay home and play football in Jersey or Rutgers when you could have gone to other places and played basketball or football. Yep. What made you decide to stay home?
Well, you know, Juice, the funny thing was this, like, you know, when I'm sure you went through the same experience because, you know, I could have went anywhere in the country. Everybody was coming and I went on some visits and I was sitting down. I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, why am I going to go make another state great? Why would I go away to school when this is where I'm from? This is where my, you know, my family is. This is, you know, so I wanted to stay home and change the perception of what Rutgers was, you know what I mean? And we started it going for a little bit, you know, when I got to being a senior and when I left, but it fell the hell off, you know what I mean? I'm Rutgers to the day I die. I go to sleep with a Rutgers shirt on. I wear my R on my chest. It's in my blood. I bleed it. But if we had, and this is the truth, if we actually had motherfuckers from New Jersey, the top athletes, top tier, five-star athletes, stay home, we'd be in the top 20 every year, period. End of story. But they travel. So Rutgers has gone through, again, another time of, how do I say, shit. I mean, there ain't no other word for it. You know, there really ain't no other word for it. So, you know, when they let go of the head coach, there was only one dude who has ever, you know, I mean, my coach, Doug Graber, was absolutely fantastic down there, changing the culture. But Greg Schiano is a different breed, man. I mean, the man is exactly as advertised. You know what I mean? He doesn't put up with the BS. The kids are in class. The graduation was up. And we were beating, you know, we beat Louisville, number 3 in the country in our own house. You know what I mean? I do the radio games, and I was like, man, this is for real. Like, like Rutgers is relevant. So it may take some time, you know what I'm saying, for us to get back to where we're going. But the reason why I went to Rutgers was because I want to make my state great. You know what I mean? I didn't want to go to another state. And then, you know, that was my basic reason. Like, why go from home?
So they're going to try and let you hoop it all, Luke? Was that
yeah, I could. Basically, the deal was I could do whatever I really wanted to if I wanted to. But Rutgers academically is no joke, man. Like, right. if you don't pull your grade point out, they throw your fucking ass out.
You know when they're recruiting high school kids and they want the player that they're recruiting to jump off the screen? Well, let me read some stats here that I found on Ray. When he was a senior in high school.
You got some stats off on Loogie?
Yeah, I got some stats.
Oh, no.
he passed for 960 yards, ran for 545 yards, accounted for 98 of the team's total 128 points on the year. Counted for 98 of 128 total points. Plus, he kicked the extra points and field goals.
Damn.
So that's the dude that Rutgers got right there.
Got Tom Dempsey.
Well, you know, Juice, when you could do it all, you got to do it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
high school for me was, oh my God, man, I loved it.
Oh, yeah, the foot on you though.
You know, and I think that Ray, I think that's a lot of what goes on with some of these high school kids, man. They do it all. You know, yeah. How many you play 3 sports probably?
Yeah, sports. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, the star on all those teams, captain of all those teams.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And yeah, like you said, you had to kick off, kick field goals, play quarterback, running back.
Listen, you know how we do, Juice. Whatever needs to be done, if you need me to do it, I'm gonna get it done. I mean, it's that simple. You don't get to where me and you got to by chance. That was right. Just hard work, determination, and, you know, people that said no. You know, like when I went to when I first went to college, they're like, man, you ain't no quarterback. You a running back. But right. Then when you go to college and then you say, man, you ain't never going to the NFL. You ain't good enough. Right. So, you know, to me, you know, being a Jersey boy, that's like the quintessential part of being Jersey. When they tell you can't do something, then you do it just to fucking smash it in their face. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, that's basically how it goes down here in Jersey.
Well, speaking of that, so I like down here, it's up there for us. But no, I got you. But speaking of that, so I read that when you first got to Rutgers, the NFL wasn't necessarily the goal. It was like, let me be the best quarterback that I could be here, prove that I'm a quarterback and do anything. At what point did that shift? At what point were you like, yo, I could maybe get paid for this? And as much as I hate to talk about it, and because you and I might have a different perception on the man who made your dreams a reality. Oh,
there's no fucking question about that, Seth.
Yeah, but walk us through that journey a little bit.
Well, you know, to me, my father told me, you know, they're going to use you for your talent. You have to use them for their education, you know, and Rutgers academically is top notch. It is what it is. Like I said, they don't play. You get below a certain grade point average and it's see you. They send you a letter. They don't even call you and be like, hey, man, listen, you need to keep, you know what I mean? You get a letter and says, you know the reason why I know? Because I got one of them motherfucking letters. That's what I'm trying to tell you. My father said they're going to use you for your talent. Use them for your education. So when I first got into school, it was about proving the doubters wrong. And it was about, you know, because I had people who believed in me, like Doug Graber, Stan Parrish, Mose Rizen, all these coaches told me, you are a quarterback. Don't let them tell you who to be. Don't let them put you in a box. So to me, it was more or less, what am I the weakest at? What am I the strongest at? Okay, when I'm the strongest at, leave that shit alone. Let's work what I'm on the weakest at, you know what I mean? And that was reading the defense and stuff like that. Because, you know, when you're in high school, it's all feel. I didn't have a coach looking at film. We didn't watch film on the next team we were playing. We got a scouting report. Piece of paper. That's it. You know what I mean? So when I got the letter for the – I was actually going to be playing basketball for Rutgers my senior year before I graduated, and I got a letter from the NFL for the combine. I almost, like, shit my pants. I'm like, what? Say what? They want me to go to NFL combine. So, you know, then the basketball stopped, and then it was like, well, okay. I see the door has a crack in it. Can I break that shit open? You know what I mean? So when I got the letter to go to the combine, that's when I was like, well, wait, did they want me to be an athlete? Did, you know, what do they want me to be? They want me to be a wide receiver. And then I made up my mind that I would be willing to do anything to play in the NFL, anything.
And so who was it that, you know, I mean, we know who it was, and this is tough for me to get into this subject matter. But but obviously there was one person that was instrumental in your career and made that a reality, helped make that a reality for you. I mean, I can't take the credit away from what you made a reality.
Well, no, you can't. I mean, Parcells, listen, man, he's a Jersey boy. You know what I mean? We share that kind of, I don't know, it's like an unwritten rule up here. You know what I mean? You could tell who got a guy is from Jersey from a mile away. And I remember they moved me to wide receiver, so I sucked, period. Like, if you were at New England Patriots field in the summertime, you'd be looking like, who the hell is 15? He's hot garbage with the wind. You know what I mean? And like two-week old hot garbage. You know what I'm saying? So I always knew, like, you have to be seen, like, you know what I mean? Especially in training camp. I mean, I wasn't juiced. We were a first-round draft pick, so you were already expected to be, you know, make an impact. For me, it was more or less like, I'm going to get cut. So what am I going to do? I started to fight every single day. Because then Parcells would be like, hey, man, you know, what the fuck is your problem? I'd be like, you talking to me, though? Ain't you talking to me? You know what I mean? Because he always said, if I ain't talking to you, you better get worried because you ain't going to be here. So every day, every practice. Like, I wait until 15 minutes before the end of practice to yoke somebody up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can't get really hurt. You got a helmet, shoulder pad. How you going? I'm not going to hurt nobody. But I jump on their back, start, you know, punch them in the rib cage and stuff like that. And then finally he said, hey, cut the shit, man. I'm going to take care of you. All right, but you're going to have to work. So my first 2 years, I was a special teams wide receiver. I didn't start playing quarterback till my third year.
And Bill definitely took care of you, man. You know, the 1 year with the Patriots, and he goes to the Jets. And who's he bring with him? Lukey.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
He brought Lukey to the Jets with him. And, you know, I hate that team. I hate the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know? But I gotta get your opinion on, you know, how was it from the other side of the tracks when you were with those guys playing against the Dolphins? How'd you guys feel about the Dolphins at that point when you were up there?
When I got to the patch, you know, when you're a rookie, you know what they say, just shut the fuck up and just keep your ears open? So it was more like when I got to the Jets, then that was the real where it became like, we friggin' hate the Dolphins. You know what I'm saying? Because all our games are always a battle to the end. Like, to the last freaking 30 seconds left on the clock, the game was still going on, and there was still, like, a chance somebody could win. You know, with some games, you'd be like, all right, switch it. I'm going to five. You know, I'm going a different game. Like, with the Jets and the Dolphins, Dolphins at that time had Zach. Everybody's talking shit. I'm a quarterback. You know, I played the quarterback position like I was playing defense. We could be down 20. I'm still talking shit. You know what I'm saying? So – it was the rivalry. You know what I mean? Like, we knew that we had to get down there. Not so much with the Pats, which I think Jet fans are going to be, like, a little confused because, you know, when Belichick left, there's obviously that animosity when you leave us, when our head coach leaves and you sign a friggin' napkin and then you go to the Pats. Like, you know, that shit wasn't right. That, you know, we didn't like that either. But we knew when we go down to Miami, it was time to roll. You know what I mean? It was big boy pants. It was, you know, the big boy diapers had to be on. It had to be strapped up tight. Now, when you got kids, you put that little strap. You just tuck it. Nah, bitch, we wrapped that all the way around rock and roll. So, you know, it was funny that way because, you know, when you go to war with your brothers, it really doesn't matter what that other jersey looks like, Juice. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's us against them at that point. But when we were playing, we knew we had to put a little extra, you know, spicy on practice. You know what I mean? You had to dial in, so to speak.
Jets always have a big following down here, too. So that was nice. You guys
came up there.
It was nice. That was a great rivalry.
Well, the best part is my wifey's cousin is a Dolphin fan. You know what I mean?
Somebody in the family got it, right?
Yeah. So a lot of wifey's Cuban. So, you know how that works. Everybody is down where you at right now.
All
you
right,
know what
right,
I mean? You've got to see 30 relatives just standing on the street. You know what I mean? With wifey. So I remember them coming up, like, you know, all her cousins live up in Jersey. So I'm like, listen, you sitting in the Jets family section. Do not wear that fucking Miami Dolphins jersey. Or jerseys, plural. And they assured me Ray, you know what? No, you got us some tickets, man. We're going to hook it up. It's going to be good. Man, these motherfuckers. Straight up, Miami Dolphin jersey. Why if he had just got three fights in the goddamn stands? I didn't hear about it to the end, but I'm like, that's it, man. You ain't coming no more. You get your own fucking tickets. You can sit up way up in the high. You know where they put the, you know, the fans from the other team? Up in the, you know, where the, you could just about get nosebleed seats where you can't see shit without goggles.
Yeah.
I mean, the dudes had everything Miami on. And you know, like my cousin Wonky, he's fanatical. Like, he didn't give a shit where he sat. He was going to have his Dolphin stuff on. He's going to be talking shit. And you know how, you know, that jersey thing, when you come from another state, that shit don't work with us.
Just three fights, Ray? That's a little surprising for the Jets game.
Well, here's the thing. Three with Jersey is we always understate shit because we don't want to get in trouble.
Okay.
You want to pull tapes on
them? Yeah, we're just going to say three.
We'll call them three.
Especially night games. Especially when there's night games, they have all day to get lathered up out in the parking lot.
But like the Midnight Miracle to me was one of the best games. I didn't even get to play in the goddamn game. I was the backup quarterback at the time, but oh my God. That was probably one of the best games I have ever seen. And I was yelling so goddamn much on the sideline, I couldn't even talk the next day.
Yeah. I couldn't watch TV for a week after that. I couldn't watch. I was sick to my stomach. I lived through that. I couldn't watch TV, Sports Center, nothing. Oh my God.
That game sucked, Lukey.
That was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I remember because y'all was waving to our fans, see ya, bye, bye-bye. Okay, wait. We still got time on the clock, buddy.
Yeah.
You didn't
that
shit was over at halftime.
You didn't see you saw the film.
I, you know what? Being there and, like, I remember Jets fans leaving the stadium because, you know, we like to get down. You know, they left the stadium, went to the parking lot to get full.
Yeah, they quit on.
You know, had some drinks and stuff. They were jumped. The state police arrested like 30 people that night because once you leave the stadium, you can't come back.
Yeah, they need
these motherfuckers is jumping over the goddamn fence. I don't even know how they scaled the walls, but, you know, in Jersey, we find a way.
Yeah, you
found Luke, they said the Dolphins won on Monday. We lost on Tuesday.
Correct. Exactly. Because it was after midnight. You're right.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap. And then, you know, we got to go to work next day.
Yeah, that plane ride home was brutal.
That couldn't have been good. It must have been quiet as hell.
Side note on that is, you know, JT was mic'd up for that game. That was one of those Monday Night Football, and they mic'd him up and all that stuff you're talking, you know, he did not have any love lost for Jets fans until he put on the green and white. But he was mic'd up, and then they had all the sound of when, you know, they were coming back, and when they did the whole, you know, NFL Films did a whole piece on that, and they had a lot of sound from the second half of that. And he would not be mic'd up the rest of his career. Like, he was – there were some real stipulations after that.
Well, think about it. You know what I mean? In the heat of battle, there's things that are said that, like, you know, the fans, they don't even know what goes on the field. Yeah. They don't even hear. You know, you got them guys with the big satellite dishes they hold on their chest. That's why the NFL has to edit shit. Because if they play what we really say, shit, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
A whole different deal.
Yeah, that'd be TV mature rated.
Eventually, you know, finally, you got that Jets poison out of your system. And or at least, you know, we had a vaccine for a couple years. And you had played for two AFC's teams, but, you know, there were two you hadn't played for yet. So it was free agency time. And I want to know, I got to know, what is the Dave Wonstead pitch to a free agent?
Well, that the year before, I think, or 2 years before that, when I was playing quarterback, I beat Big Dan Marino twice in 3 weeks. You know what I mean? And I think he was like, man, forget about competing against this dude. Let's just bring him over. But Rick Spielman was unbelievable in that whole process. I mean, I forget where's he at now? Is that Minnesota or something like that?
Yeah, Rick's in Minnesota.
So plus I like Rick. You know what I mean? He was that kind of dude. He was like, either you're gonna say yes or you're gonna say no right now. You got till the end of this visit or the offer is off the table.
And you like that?
Oh, hell cheap. Man, I had to call Wifey and say, you better start packing some shit up. I mean, what they offer me, I ain't never seen no money like that before.
Now, did her relatives get closer to the field at that point? Were they like, okay, y'all can come down from
No, I was still pissed off. I said, fuck y'all. Go get a hotel. You ain't staying in my crib. You go get a hotel. Come again. Get your fucking tickets. I already told you. They're like, come on, man. Now you with the Dolphins. I got no. I don't. Listen, I forgive. I don't forget. You kiss my ass.
Right.
They didn't go get the Lucas 6 with the
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They had all that stuff. They had
to wear it up high.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't care, but I wouldn't give him no free tickets. I told him that you know how I go, Seth.
There are no free tickets. That's the thing. They think you guys just have free tickets.
You get two tickets. I don't even know what I get now. One? I used to get two.
I don't know, but they're paying for anything beyond that.
Well, Juice, you know, Sundays cost more than groceries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You buy tickets there because they ain't fucking cheap. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you know what, Luke? It's cheap for these guys now, the money they're making.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's different than what we were making, man. These dudes got
Juice, I called I called my mother. I said, "Mom, I said I'm pissed at you." She said, "Ray, what's wrong?" I said, "You had me too fucking early."
That's right.
Yeah, if I played now, I could still be playing for the next. I could have played for 20 years too.
That's right.
You hit the quarterback. You sneeze near a quarterback, you get a flag.
15.
It's ridiculous.
And a fine.
Imagine that, coming to the locker and finding out because I hit the quarterback, maybe because somebody pushed me into him a little bit low. Dude, when we played. They tried to knock you out the game on purpose.
Yeah.
You hit the quarterback.
You hit the quarterback and the whole team feels it, Lukey.
Everybody's, you remember they go, oh, my God. Oh, the cover. Oh, shit. They ain't no, I haven't seen none of that stuff anymore. Listen,
right.
I'm all for the game being safer. Trust me. I'm not saying that. But the game of football is always going to be violent. And the game from when we played OJ has changed because now, you know, you got the 400-pound guys running 4.6.
Right.
You know, like if you were 400 pounds, you didn't play in the NFL when we played.
Nah. And the look, Luke, the way they look these days, you see a 300 pounder. Like we see the Pouncey twins all the time. Both well over 300 pounds, barely over 300. They look like athletes, basketball players. Now they don't look like the 300 pounder we used to see.
Yeah, I mean, 300 pounds. I remember Parcells, I forget what we were stretching, like, and there I forget what the guy, I think the guy's name was, last name was Walker. He was offensive lineman. And he was stretching next to me. And Parcells would walk up and down and, you know, talk shit to everybody. And he said, "God damn, son, we need two sons to tan your fat ass." I was like, "Where am I?" Like, that was like my first weekend in, like, rookie minicamp. First weekend in camp. I'm like, "God damn, like, that's what you say to a fat dude? Like, two sons to tan your fat body?" I was like, what the hell is going on around here? Nowadays, you know, they could probably catch me in the race.
Right, no doubt about it. And so, look, when you came down here to South Florida, were you prepared to compete? You knew you're going to be competing for the starting job when you got down here?
100%. Yes. Yeah. You know, but again, Juice, I didn't look at any job as any different. I'm coming down there to be the best. I'm coming down there to be the number one. Anywhere I went, that's what my attitude was. Here's my thing. If you really want something bad, then you have to be willing to do anything to get it. You know what I'm saying? And when you get to the level that we got to, it's not by chance, man. It's just not. People think, well, nowadays you see all that what the hell is going on to my screen? I can't see nobody.
We see you.
Oh, you got me? You still got me?
Yeah, you're good. Yep.
Okay. Wait a second. I'm sorry, guys.
It's all good, man.
I got my daughter's computer, so I'm going to try to FaceTime her. Lucky I ain't a dude, I'll smack the shit. I'm sorry. I regress. For me, you know, when you say that word compete, Juice, man, we've been competing since we were, you know, out the womb. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they told me straight up, you know, nothing's guaranteed here anyway, which was the way it was with Parcells. It's either you go take it or you just sit there and collect the check.
We knew a bunch of guys that did that, though, don't we?
Ooh-wee. Still to this day. You know what I mean? I've been doing the Jet stuff sometimes, sitting there thinking, how much is this dude making?
Man, oh, man. And they proudly accept it.
And don't say shit after it. Like, you know, you can call them out and say, man, you know, you need to do something. And then they, you know, because you know why? Because they still cashing the damn check regardless of what the fuck we say. They don't give a shit. Here was my thing. I remember, like, Tom Brady being Tom Brady and then a guy being drafted in the first round of the draft made the same money as Tom Brady. Haven't even pissed the drop. Hasn't even seen the friggin' field yet. And this son of a bitch is making Tom Brady money. It's right. that used to just piss me off. But now when I see the contract, like every time I see my mom, I'm like either cock the fist or I kiss her on the cheek. I don't know which one's going to be.
Kiss her on the cheek, right?
Of course. You know, it's moms. I got to kiss her on the cheek. But if I could have played now, man,
yeah,
I wouldn't be working. I know that.
This is a different deal. So you spent
I got to go to work
in New York. Yeah. Finally come down to Miami, you know, wearing the right colors. And you get in the QB room. And it's a New York guy and a Jersey guy.
Me and Jay hit it off immediately. I mean,
it
was more, I think, the respect kind of deal because we both kind of came in the same way, undrafted, you know what I mean? And and made it, you know, especially when you come from a wide receiver, special teams guy to playing quarterback, there was no way I was going to go backwards. And there was respect in the room, which I think there always has to be in a competition, is respect for your other guy that you try to take. Listen, if you number one, you know number two is trying to get it. I mean, it's always going to be that way, especially in the NFL. So, for me, he knew what I was there to do. And I knew what he was there to do, keep his job, and I was there to take it. So, there was that mutual respect. And me and Jay, to this day, are still cool, you know, when I see him and talk to him and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, who wants to go anywhere and be number two? You shouldn't be doing what you're doing if that's the case.
But as far as his personality and attitude, I mean, did that New York, New Jersey thing, did you guys, was that part of why you guys bonded and were able to?
Yeah, I mean, it was easy because it's kind of similar, but different, you know, similar but different. You know what I'm saying? Where I came from, being so close to Newark and hanging out over there and doing things before you become smart. You know, not when you're a dumbass and stuff and trying to impress the wrong people. But Jay's seen the same things I've seen. So, oh, maybe not all the things that I've seen, but similar, the word. Or you know, but it was we were cool. It wasn't, there was no way in every single locker room I have been in. Not everybody doesn't like everybody. I mean, that just goes. On Sunday, right. That's my brother. I don't give a shit. We don't have to go eat. We don't have to go break bread. We don't have to do. But when Sunday comes, you mess with him, you messing with me, and that's how we looked at it. That's just the way it was.
I always felt, and not everybody could do this. You were a guy who could, but Lukey was certainly a guy that, you know. Again, we talk about how the locker room was segmented back then. You know, and the receivers and quarterbacks were here, and the DBs over there. That Lukey could sit down in any one of those sections,
right,
and be cool and be accepted, and it didn't matter if it was the defensive linemen or the DBs or the O linemen. And not every guy can do that. Why were you able to navigate that and fit in any one of those rooms?
Because I was always like, you know, first or second person in, last motherfucker to leave. And they knew, you know, listen, and Juice knows this better than anybody. You know who the guys that will risk everything are inside the locker room for that W. You know who they are. You can't hide that. You know when you walk around that locker room, like Juice said before, who's putting the time in and who isn't. Listen, you don't make it to the NFL if you're not naturally gifted in some area of the sport. You understand what I'm saying? But guys know who are willing to lay down their life to get that win for their team. And I was that dude. So it's kind of easy to travel in between. Plus, you know me, Seth. I talk a lot of shit. So
A little bit.
Like you know, I tell my wife, I'm always right sometimes.
You know what, Lukey? That's a sign of a true leader, though, too, man. You know, quarterback obviously is the leader of a football team,
right?
And I think it's imperative that you get around and you spend some time with everybody. And right. Yours is genuine time, not just because you're that leader. You got to go, okay, let me go hang out with the lineman for a little bit because I got to do it.
Right.
You got along with everybody that way. And I think that's the sign of the guys that every Sunday, every Monday, whatever, a Thursday, you know, the guys in the locker room go to bat for you like that.
Yeah, I mean, and as a quarterback, if your team doesn't believe in you, Juice, you lose it.
All day.
Every day.
So, in 01, yep. You know, Jay did start every game.
Yep.
And you know, you built a rapport with the team and the guys and certainly all the staff. And then, you know, the team was rolling, went 11-5. And you know, Harvey Green was my boss. He was the head PR guy. And Lukey would always tell me, Juice, look, you know, Harvey's Harvey, whatever. But if Lukey ever starts, I ain't talking to Harvey. So you better get your big boy diapers on. That's where I first heard it. I said, what do you mean you're not talking? He goes, I'm just telling you. And I go, but you're going to get me fired. He goes, no. You got to get your big boy diapers on because you're my guy. If Harvey ever gets fired, you know, if Lukey's ever the guy, Seth is the guy. I'm not talking to Harvey. I'm just not talking to him. He's going to come up to me. I'm just going to walk the other way. So I'm like terrified. I'd love to see Jay succeed. I'd love to see Lukey succeed. Well, 2002, we jump out to a 5-1 start. We have that big win in Denver. Jay breaks his thumb, I think. And so Lukey's going to be the starter. I'm like, oh, shit. Like I'm happy we got Lukey here, but I'm a little concerned. Am I going to, you know, am I going to lose my job because he's not going to talk to Harvey? But you did talk to Harvey. You did talk to Harvey. And I hate to bring this up, Luke, but that first game did not go the way you wanted it to.
Well, the funny part was if people really knew what happened, instead of the result, you know, was that the Buffalo game? I think it was.
That was the Buffalo game.
All right. So right before halftime, I forget what happened, separated my shoulder or something, my right shoulder. You know me, fuck it, honesty. So and they're like, Ray, we need you. And you know, when you're a football player and you play at a level we played at, you know, when you hear the words, we need you, like, you know, I was like, fuck, whatever. I don't care, whatever you got to do. So I couldn't even see in the second half, dude, to be honest with you. I mean, if I couldn't throw the ball 10 yards and I'm looking at guys in my color jersey and I'm throwing the freaking ball all the way over here. That was the day that at the end of it, remember, Seth, after the game was over with, I said, we got to get this podium shit done right now, because I was so upset with myself that I wasn't man enough to say, no, I'm not playing. Back in those days, you just sucked it up. You went out there and you did the best that you could. You know what I mean? So I went on TV. I said, for the first time in NFL history, one guy lost the game for everybody. Me. It wasn't the coaches. It wasn't the players. It was me. You don't have to look anywhere else. You could write it all down on paper. It was me. And I was so emotionally upset. Like, I left wifey in the parking lot. And I was angry at myself. So I was in such an anger zone, Juice, that I just came out. I gave the wifey the hand like, I'm out. Because we had tons of – it was the first game I'm starting. I got my boys flying in. It was like one of them kind of things.
Yeah.
Dude, I swear to God, until I got home, like, I left. I left her in the – I left my wife in the fucking parking lot. I get out. I go home. As soon as I open my door, all I hear is, Daddy. And then everything was all right.
Right. You know what
I mean? But I do remember North Turner calling my house. The head coach's wife, Norris's wife, called my wife. Hey, is Ray okay? Is he all right? Because they knew what happened. They knew what happened. But everybody else didn't know what happened. And you know how we do, Juice. What happens in that locker room stays in the locker room. But,
yeah.
You know, my whole Dolphin career – like, if you watch my preseason games, that was Ray Lucas. You watch me play after that, that wasn't Ray Lucas. You know what I mean? It was just – it was what it was. It was the beat up. It was the back. It was everything. So it was just not how I wanted to go out. And then, you know, when you get to – you get cut from the Dolphins after playing, you know, having surgery in the next year. And I told Wansett straight up, I said, yo, I don't give a shit who you bring in here. Just let me compete. If I don't win anything, then cut my ass. But the least you could do for me is, because I played hurt the whole year for you, is just give me a shot. That's all I wanted was a shot. And he lied straight to my fucking face and said, yeah, Luke, don't worry about it. By the time I went from his office downstairs to the locker room, North Turner was sitting in my locker already. And he was like, yo, you gotta call your agent and tell him you're going out of here. I said, what the fuck are you talking about? I was just with Wansett upstairs. He said, man, they're trying to get you out of here. I said, that's not what he just said. He said, what do you think I'm doing sitting in your locker? I didn't make it halfway home, Seth. I get the call. They cuffed. So I turned the car around because I was coming back to bust they want Stat's ass.
I didn't know that part of it.
Well, yeah. And then it was like, you know, more of a pride thing, because I remember the first thing I heard when I got, you know, there's a digging you're tough and knowing you're tough, Juice. You know what I'm saying? You know, so for me, are you hurt or are you injured? That's I'll never forget it. Never, ever forget it. It's the first thing I heard. Parcells said when I was in New England. So I was like, yo, coach, man, you know, what's that mean? He said, if you're hurt, you can play. If you're injured, that means you can't play. So are you hurt or you're injured? So they're already challenging your manhood from the start. And me and Juice would have said, bitch, I'm hurt. Then fuck it. I ain't injured. I'm hurt. And I think that hurt me a lot, especially now. Like, you know, when you got to work for a living and, you know, I do the Rutgers games on Saturday, Jet stuff on Sunday, and then I got my regular job. Working 7 days a week with the body that I have is it's hard to do, man. It's hard to do. I had a rough year last year.
And I want to get into that in a minute, Lukey, but I going back to that Buffalo game, not to be a jerk, but one of the things, and you talked about it, you went to the podium and, you know, a lot of guys, we've seen guys run out of the back. You know, we've all seen that, right? And Juice, I've heard you. I've heard
Juice. Yeah.
People talk about having to – that leaves those who are left having to answer for the guy who really should be talking. And so you went and you addressed it. And I said, do you want to cool off? Do you want to shower? He said, no, let's get it over with. Let's just do it right away. And you went in. He took his pads off and he just had his Under Armour.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that part.
I didn't forget about it.
So he took
his pads off. He had his white Under Armour. You know, you can see it in this picture behind me here. Just, you know, the long sleeve Under Armour.
I wore Under Armour from the first day it came out. But it wasn't licensed.
And so then he goes to the podium.
Yep.
we all go home. I didn't know the sign, you know, I didn't know Sessie got left in the parking lot. And Wednesday he comes back to work. And I don't know if you've ever seen it, Juice, but what's sitting there on his chair is that FedEx envelope.
That fine, huh?
$10,000 fine.
Hey, Juice, there was a fucking Post-it on my lot. Like you know how you get pee tested? They put the Post-it up there. You say, oh, shit, I got to go pee. I lost my shit.
$10,000 fine because he had the little logo.
I had that Under Armour, like, you know, the little tiny thing on there?
Yep.
Go ahead, Sid. Tell the rest of the story. You want to talk about losing your goddamn mind.
So he starts calling me, hey, Seth, what is this? You told me to go do it. I went and did it. So I go up to Harvey. I said, Harvey, we got to do something about this. He goes, Seth, I can't get a fine rescinded. I said, you know, we tell these guys they have to be available after the game. We tell them it's a requirement. And when a guy leaves, they're criticized by the media. They're fined by the team, by the NFL for not addressing the media. And so here's a guy who had the worst game of his athletic career. And the last thing he wanted to do was do what he did, but he was a professional. He did what we asked, and he went right into the room and did it. And then we fined him for doing what we wanted him to do. So Harvey goes, okay, that's fair. And he called the league PR office, and then he ended up talking to, I don't know if it was Merton Hanks at the time, but we ended up going through that whole process. And I think we saved you a few bucks, Loki.
I didn't pay a fucking cent. I wasn't going to pay a fucking cent either. Somebody was going to bust it up wide open. I mean,
but they did. They actually rescinded.
They rescinded, yeah. They did. Yeah. I mean, that was the thing. Like, you know, that was probably the worst 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, in my entire life.
I bet.
To actually have to sit there and think about how you played, and as an athlete, and people don't realize this, we're more critical of ourselves than any media person ever is, because we're putting out a product that we work very hard to do. We put our bodies through hell. So to go out there and shit the bed like I did in the second half, to me, was unacceptable. Because that meant I let, you know, 52 other guys down. And I stunk out. I mean, it was an embarrassment, you know what I mean? Yeah. But Vinny Testaverde taught me this when I was a very young quarterback. That's what a professional quarterback does. He owns it. He said, you're going to get all the praise when you play good and your team's winning, but you're going to get all the crap when your team is losing. He said, but that's the nature of the beast. And if you can't handle that, because you know me in the past, I'd be like, man, go fuck yourself. Get the fuck away from me. As a starting quarterback, you can't do that. You know what I mean? You have to own it. And I think the young players today, if they did a better job of owning their play, I think it would be better for us. You know what I mean? Now we're all on the other side, on the media side. And, you know, when I was playing, you know, people sometimes would attack your character, which I didn't care for too much. With me, if you stink, I'm going to say you stink. If you play great, I'm going to say you play great. You know what I mean? It's the truth. It's just the jersey in me. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, when you cover the Jets for the last 14 years like I have, you know, I'm a Jets fan. There is emotion when I'm on TV, you know what I mean? But the first question people ask you when they see me on the street, how do you fucking not curse on TV? You know what I mean? Because your first language is profanity, your second language is fucking English. How do you, I said, because I'm a freaking professional. That's why. And I'm not saying I have it. Slipped. Maybe once or twice, Juice came out.
Do they have that 7-second delay still, or you just?
They put me on like 25 seconds.
You probably about 20. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, yeah. They got me on 5-minute delay, so they can beep, 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 beep,
beep, beep. Producer's got his hand right on the button, ready to go for you, just in case we got to dump this here.
But I, you know, the way I associate, the way I grow up with, the way I talk and stuff like that. So yeah, in the beginning, it was you didn't know what the hell was going to come out my mouth. You know what I mean? Like, but as you get more into it, you want to be the best at whatever you're doing. So it's the same thing with me, you know, at work. Like, I want to be, I'm a boss. I have a whole staff that works under me. So I want them to follow my lead, but you can't ask somebody to do something that you're not willing to do. And it was the same thing in football. And everything that I've learned playing football my whole life is still helping me today.
Yeah.
When you're going through a tough time, you know, I've had 23 surgeries, Seth, you know, OJ. You know, I don't feel great. You know what I'm saying? I had my 4th neck surgery. They took out a 4-inch steel plate. They put in a 2-inch steel plate lower in August. And traveling and flying in the planes and stuff like that. Dude, I mean, I was hurting. I'm hurting all the time. But if somebody asked me, Luke, would you go back and do it? And you had to get every surgery. I said, hell yeah, I go back. In a second, in a millisecond. Because, you know, you're not working if you're doing something you love. Like my daddy always said, if you got to set an alarm clock, you hit that snooze button, bet you better get a new job because you ain't ready to go. So,
good point.
Well, hey, you know, Big Seth's always got to bring us some negative stuff, man. Let's, you know, that's just the way Big Seth rolls sometimes, man. You know, talking about that Buffalo Bills game. Talking about that Buffalo Bills game, you know.
But I was just trying to talk about the fine I saved him to see if I was getting
him. Yeah, that's the good part. But Lukey said he wasn't paying anyways. You didn't do shit anyway.
Juice, I swear to God. You know how you – well, people don't know. Like, when you get fined, it says federal, state, other.
Right.
Like, you don't get to write, like, a dude a check and say, here's my fine money. Like, the first – I missed one meeting, I think, in the Jets thing. My wife took me to the hotel early, so I went to sleep. Set the alarm clock for the night meetings the day before the game, Saturday, you know. I hear this banging on my door. I'm like – I open the door. It's head of security. I'm like, yo, man, what the hell's the matter with you banging like that? He's like, dude, you know what time it is? I turn and look at the clock. I take off down the hallway. I made it halfway down the hallway and realized I had my drawers on. Like, I was that scared. Like, I was that afraid. Yeah. Like, it was the worst feeling, and I swear to God, Juice, like, that I've had in a very long time. So by the time I run back, throwing my stuff on, these dudes are coming out the night meeting. So I kind of just mull in the crowd, you know what I mean? We're going to snack. So we in the snack line, getting me a nice cheeseburger and Parcells. I didn't even see him coming. He was like a friggin' ninja. He's right on my thing, and he goes, that's the most expensive cheeseburgers you'll ever eat. I said, God damn. I said, Coach, man, and he said, shut the fuck up. I do not want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You're the quarterback. And I wouldn't even start. To him, the quarterback is the leader, like you said before, Juice. The quarterback, people follow them if they're good enough. And he said, there is no reason. And I said, okay, Coach. I remember that federal, state, other, and I saw that number. I said, oh, hell no, man. I worked too hard for this stuff. And, you know, me being a free agent signing, I needed every damn penny to pay for all my stuff. Right. You know what I mean? And $4,500 cheeseburger, you know what I mean? That I would have had two, shit, if I would have known I was getting $4,500.
Could have bought it to a franchise of that.
Good Lord have mercy. $4,500? That was half my damn check.
You should have doubled up.
I hope you ate the whole burger, Luke.
Oh, and fries.
And the fries.
Yeah, and I took extra ketchup juice just in a whole container and threw it out just because I knew I want somebody to pay for something. I didn't care how.
Hey, Luke, I know it's not all bad in Miami, man. I know you had some great teammates, man. You had some, you know, some fun in that locker room like you talked about, man. And you guys had some good players, man. Talk about some of the good experience you had down here in Miami.
Well, you know, the funny thing was I remember being on my visit, and I walk into the weight room to meet probably one of the best weight room trainers that I've ever had. I mean, John Lott was fantastic when I was at the Jets, but Gamble, my goodness gracious, boy. Because I was, you know, back then I was a gym rat. I was in the gym 2 hours a day. I remember Zach and JT and I forget who else it was, Tim Bowens was working out. And, you know, Tim Bowens being in a weight room, it really didn't happen too much when I was
at the Timberlands on?
Yeah, when Tim was on, he just came to work and then he left. That's basically how it went. Nobody fired his ass. Nobody did not. So I hear JT say, oh, hell no. Hell no. And I knew the voice. I'm like, wait a second. I can't see him. I know who the hell it is. But to be coming from the Jets to the Dolphins, and like I said before, people heard what we say to each other, and then being signed by the Dolphins, the best part to me was they welcomed me with open arms. It was so weird to go from, you know, calling Zach before I snapped the ball. Hey, Zach, move over. We're going to run the ball right here. Right here. This is where we're running the ball. We get 4 yards. I'd be like, damn, Zach, man, I fucking told you where we're running right over here. You'd be like, Luke, you shut the fuck up. I'm about to kill your ass. You ain't going to make the whole game. We'll knock you off. To go from that to calling them my friends, you know, and you got to understand, like, OJ, to me, when I was younger, watching him play, you know, and playing them and watching him work, like, I thought I was going to go play with O.J. McDuffie. To me, that was a big deal. To me, being in the locker room with Jason Taylor and Zach, that was a big deal. But to meet all the other guys and saw how, like, Sam Madison, Patrick Surtain, I mean, like, these dudes, Aronde Gasson might have been, well, not might, is the funniest dude that I have ever met in my entire life. I mean, there were times where I had to go home and change the draw. I peed by juice, just like a little bit. This son of a bitch had me laughing so hard that one day at JT's pool thing, I was like, God damn. I went to the bathroom. that was almost the Depends Day for Lukey because he was hysterical.
Big boy diapers.
Yeah, big boy diapers. That probably wouldn't have covered it, I'll be honest with you. So to go from hate when we on Sundays to love to me was just unbelievable. And it takes strong men to welcome somebody from a rival team. I mean, like to go inside your division, it's insane. Like to jump ship like that. But it was awesome, you know. And OJ, you know, if I didn't say thank you, I'm saying it now. I mean, you were, man. I mean, to make sure I knew where I was going, knew where not to go, to always, you know, Luke, you want to come out? Come on out. Come on out. Introducing me. I mean, it was just awesome, man. You know, when wifey said, we got to go back to the dirty, I was like, man, see ya.
See ya.
See ya. And she was like, you know, I want to go home, family. And I was like, all right, baby. You know, I get it. But, you know, I as soon as I retire, I'll be back. Back there. Yeah,
that's what's up. We look forward to it.
Yeah, I can't, you know, man, because I can't do this cold weather shit no more, Juice. Nah, man,
you got too many surgeries, man.
Juice, one of my favorite memories of Ray in the Dolphins locker room, and Ray, there might have been three of us that were in there, and I don't even know what compelled you to do this, but so Ray's locker was by where yours was, Juice.
That prime real estate right there.
Indeed.
And the equipment room was all the way on the other side, like completely on the other side. And somebody, I do you even remember, Ray? Somebody, I don't know if they dared you or there was a bet, but he said that he could throw a football from his locker across the entire locker room into the little window. There was the cage for the equipment room because Tony had it all locked up. He didn't want guys stealing stuff or whatever, and they would give out the shirts and the gloves and everything. And do you remember? I don't even remember who was there, Ray. Like, it was me, you, and maybe one other dude.
It was a bet, and it was a big bet. It was a bet that I couldn't do it. And that's not smart fucking with me because, you know, when you tell me I can't do something, like I said before, it's going to get done. So
that's not an easy throw.
Like, no, because that's why the bet was so much. Because at first, you know how it goes, Juice, when you talk of shit. Oh, yeah, Ray, you can throw. You think you can throw through a brick wall, whatever. Yeah, I bet you could make it through that thing. I said, I bet you I can't. So it started at a low number. You know, for one throw, I was willing.
One shot.
Yeah,
one
I was shot. Willing. Juice, I was willing to have it stay low. But then everybody kept talking. And everybody started chirping and chipping in and shit. And I said, okay, bitch, let's make it real then. Let's make it real bet. So we made a man's bet. And
he releases this ball, Juice, and it comes out high. And it literally skims the, you know, the panels that are in the ceiling, the ceiling tiles. It skims the ceiling tiles, and you don't think there's any chance. And, man, it starts coming down right through. Drop right through there. And Charlie was in the equipment room. He was the only person there. And it, like, comes in like a rocket. And it bounces.
Hey, Juice, I threw that ball at Mach 8. I threw that ball at Mach 8.
Just skimmed the top of the roof. I don't know how he did it. One shot and he got it through. And I don't know that you could do that again if you had 1,000 shots.
There's no fucking way, Seth. There's no fucking way.
Rise to the occasion, big dog. Don't
you know what I'm saying? And then you know what the next words were, Juice? Paid that man money. Give me my money, baby. They were like, Luke, man, no way. And then, well, I bet like 3 or 4 people because now, you know, once you start talking shit in the locker room, everybody come over. And next day, woo-wee, did Lukey eat good.
Well, you should have got some odds on that one, Lukey. You went straight up on it, huh?
Nah, you know how we – come on, Juice. You know how we do. I was just more or less – because if I missed, I didn't want, you know, I didn't want nobody to be like, oh, fucking Lukey talk all that shit. Then, you know, he fucking didn't even come close to bounce it off the floor and it went into the thing.
Bro, that's so, like, you know, that's that Saturday day. You know, Saturday in the locker room, your team is playing Penn State.
Yep.
You ask for points. Can't ask for points.
Can't, no, that's straight up. It's always straight up. I do remember coming in the day after, and there was 4, like, fat envelopes.
Nice.
And wifey saw 2 of them.
Veteran move right there. It's a veteran move.
Listen. Rainy day fun, homeboy. You got to make sure you got something.
Hey, Luke, you know, we try to keep it light around here, as usual, man. But, you know, sometimes we got to go a little deeper.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know you're one guy that never, you know, hides behind tough conversations. In fact, it was a very different part of you than a few years ago. You wrote a book in 2014 called Under Pressure.
Yep.
And I really, you know, pulled back the curtain on some very dark side of football, retirement, and some circumstances, you know. They also led to probably some mental illness. Myself, had some different mental illness as well. I think a lot of football players do, but you actually chronicled it. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, the funny thing was, Juice, you know, when you make it to the NFL, and I try to tell people this all the time, you don't make it there by accident because you don't ask for help. Like, you got to do it. So at that point when I was, you know, addicted to painkillers, I was taking, 1,600 pills a month, maybe, close to, you know what I mean? I was taking enough pills in one day to kill five people. But, you know, when you don't have insurance, because you only get insurance in the end for 5 years, and then after that, you know what that Cobra insurance costs. And right. with my existing injuries, it was like, you know, forget it. I might as well just – so I just got the girls. I didn't have none. So what did the doctors do? You know, when you have – I would never blame the NFL for my addiction. You know what I'm saying? I point the thumb, not the finger. It's more of, yeah, I had a tolerance to it when I left the NFL, because who isn't hurt when you're playing? I mean, after week one, you're playing the whole season hurt anyway. You do what the vets do. That's what they did. I saw them in the training room. Give me some. Can't sleep. Give me some. So you go by what you know. And then before long, you know, when you get, you know, I was taking four, and the next day I know I'm taking like 20 at a time. I mean, it got so bad to the point where I just didn't care no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just said, you know, I'm not a father. I'm not a husband. I'm not a friend. I'm not an uncle. I'm not a whole bunch of things. And I said, that's it, man. I'm killing myself. You know, you call these people that said that they help, but that was bullshit. I remember I called somebody, and we won't say who, but I told her, I said, listen, if I don't get help, I'm going to kill myself. She said, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Lucas. We're in a fundraising phase.
Wow.
So imagine sitting on the phone, right? I mean, I gave this lady some hot shit. Like, she needed to go bathe in holy water after what I gave her. Like, I was just cursing at her, telling her, like, you're in a fundraising phase. Is this what you say to everybody? Like, are you going to be able to sleep tomorrow when you read in the papers that I fucking ate my gun? You know what I'm saying? Like, how are you? So I remember suffering in silence, because that's what we do. I mean, that's what we always done. You know what I mean? That's how we do. And I, you know, for me to ask for help, I think that was the toughest part, Juice. Like, to say, help, somebody help me, because I'm in a bad place. I'm taking 1,600 pills. I'm 168 pounds. You know what I mean? Like, I remember then when I said I was going to kill myself, I was just like, you know what? I'm no good to nobody. You know, the guy that – I remember walking past a mirror one day. And you know me, I'm a quarterback. I know this shit is a little scruffy because we got no barber. I can't go no place. Nobody can cut me. But I like to be pretty. I like to look good. I like to be groomed. I like to be – I remember walking past a mirror, and I stopped myself. Like, after I passed him, I was in the hallway. I was like, man, who the fuck was that? I didn't even recognize the dude I was. You know what I mean? So right. The reason why I was so public with my story was because how many more football players are like me that don't know how to ask for help? You know what I mean? We are a little – listen, you have to be a little bit crazy to play in the NFL any goddamn way. You know what I mean? To actually think about what you go through to play there to get to be great, you have to be a little bit off. Like, you can't be – It all can't add up, is what I'm trying to say. You know, I always say about myself, I'm a few sandwiches short of a fucking picnic. You know what I mean? But that's why I was so public. And I wanted them to know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And if I could do it, you know, taking 1,600 pills a day, I mean, 80 pills a day. I tried to kill myself like three times. I took 80 pills at one time. Woke up the next day, I said, I'm such a piece of shit, I can't even kill myself, right? This is real shit. You know what I mean? So at first when they asked me, like, you know, will you go and talk about it? I was like, man, are you crazy? You know where I live? People start ringing the bell, checking me, trying to see if they can come in. You know, it's Ray Week, you know, in Jersey, you know, people feed off weakness. That's just how it go. So I was like, man, I ain't saying shit to anybody. And then at one night I'm sitting here and I'm talking to myself and I'm praying. I'm saying, yeah, but What about somebody else? What about one of your friends that you don't even know right now that you play with could be going through the same shit you're going through? So I say, you know what? Let's do it. I'm not ashamed. I'm a survivor. And I think it's better to tell somebody that you can get through it than keep your friggin' mouth shut. You understand what I'm saying? Like, for me, I'm not ashamed of who I am or who I was or who I am. It makes me who I am today. You know what I mean? I'm a fighter. I'm a survivor. And it's always going to be that way. But people need to know it's okay to ask for help. But yep. OJ, when you get to the NFL, you didn't get there because you asked for help. You got there because you worked your ass off. And you didn't ask anybody outside, hey, man, can you call somebody on the phone and tell them that you really like me so I can get – no, that shit don't work. you have to get there on your own, and you're willing to sacrifice everything for it. And then it's the same thing in, you know, home life. Like, for me, I was working. I wanted Emmy the year I was fucked up all the time. All the time. I would only stop taking the pills the day before my TV show so I could be lucid. And then I remember Brian Custer, who, you know, he's a big Showtime guy. He hosts all that stuff. He called me one day after my show. And I lived in Jackson, which is about a three-hour drive from New York City. So I would always check the traffic to see how long I was going to be in the car because I knew I'd be in pain. Forget it. 3 hours. Shit. I ain't going to make 3 hours. Wife's going to have to come get me out the car. So I'm sitting in my little cubbyhole portal thing. And I always had like I call it a health and beauty hobba bag. And it had all my pills in it. So here I am. Six, boom, one shot. Six, boom, one shot. Checked the traffic again, looked over. I took 20. He was standing behind me. I didn't even know he was standing behind me. He said, look, man, what the fuck are you doing? I said, vitamins, man. You know, I got to get my vitamin B, C, D, E. You know, listen, when you're an addict, you are the best liar. But guess what? You only lying to yourself because everybody else knows. But when you're an addict, you don't think nobody else knows. You think you're fooling the world. So he was like, yo, what's up, man? What's up with that? And I was just like, nah, man, it's all good. You know what I mean? I got to get in the car. I'm in pain, you know? I never thought, I just took 20 pills, I could kill somebody on a turnpike. When you're an addict, you don't think that way. It's, you think about one thing and one thing only. Am I going to be in pain? How do I get out of it? You know what I'm saying? So, like, it was the weirdest thing, though, Juice. I'd be on the TV, like live TV, I would have no pain because the focus was on what I was talking about, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. As soon as that producer in my ear said 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, right back. Pain came running right back. But, you know, after going to rehab and stuff, and a lot of people, you know, helped me, I call it a tool belt because the demons still come back. You know what I mean? I haven't took a pill in any of the surgeries I had. My next surgery in August where they took the test, I didn't take one painkiller, not one. And people need to know there's other options other than what the doctors are saying. You know, you go to get a tooth pulled, you can get 30 fights. You take 10 of them bitches, bitch, you better be careful. You might not come back. It's that serious. So for me, I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. You know what I mean? I am who I am. I beat it, which means in return, you can beat it. It's just, you got to make a choice. And the choice wasn't really mine. You know what I mean? Once somebody came in, I got Dr. Ficazio and his staff. It was like he was trying to help NFL players. I got a Pro Bowl neck surgery. So I wasn't taking 1,600 pills no more, Jesus. I was only taking about 100. So, you know, in an addict's mind, I'm cured.
Right.
I'm good, man. I'm good. My wife, he's like, when are you going to rehab? I was like, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going nowhere. So I remember the year we were supposed to go, we were in the playoffs, and my SNY was like, yo, we going to where if they just go Super Bowl, we going out. I was like, oh, what a party. Let's go. And I made the promise to wifey after the season was over with, I'd go to rehab. But, you say a lot of shit. I said a lot of shit back then that I wasn't going to do. And I remember we lose to the Steelers in the AFC Championship game. And I'm walking to my truck in the tunnel, and wifey calls and she's like, you ready? I'm like, yeah. I don't know for fucking what.
Where are we going? Yeah.
You ready? Yeah, I'm like, listen, I stay ready. You know what I mean? You stay ready, ain't got to get ready. And she's not laughing. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I just got to work. What I do? And she said, you got to go to rehab. And I was like, okay. Yeah. So, you know, for like 2 months, I yeah-yeah-ed her to death. And finally, she said, it's either us or that. And that's when it hit me. Ain't no way I'm losing my family over this shit. And that was kind of my bags were packed. She had all my shit packed. And at first, I took the, I took the bags and walked the fuck out. And then I made it maybe around the block, pulled the car back in a parking spot, came back in, put the bags in, and said, I'm going. That's it. I want to get better. I made the choice. It's either, you know, me being a dad and a husband and a friend and a brother and an uncle and all those other things, or death. Death. Because I know once you get to 100, you think you're cured, but I would have been about 2,400 in about a month. So to me, it's a choice, you know? And I've seen a lot of my friends say, oh yeah, Luke, man, I'm going. And you can't fucking lie to an addict. You can't. I know you're full of shit. You know what I'm saying? But when anybody asks me about it, I talk about it. Because if I could just save one out of 8 million, I reach one, Juice, just friggin' one person. than I did. I received a gift, and I think once you receive the gift of sobriety, and if you don't give it back, it's a sin. So you can't just sit there. I can't sit there, and I'm still an addict. You know, I'm always going to be an addict. You can't sit here and not be real to somebody who's asking you, hey, can you help me? Yeah, man, I can help you. What do you need? Whatever you need, I can help you. To me, telling my story, writing the book, shining light on, like you said, Juice, people know, but they don't really know. They don't really know what we go through and how things were back then. Has the NFL changed since we played? Oh, my God, hell yeah. Some for the good, some shit still the same. That ain't never going to change. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
But it is what it is. And again, well, like I said, I'm not ashamed, Juice. I'm a proud man. My head is up. My chest is out, even though it's a lot smaller than what it used to be. I fit in the smaller shit. It's awesome. It's good stuff.
Hey, man, I appreciate you being so candid, man, and sharing that story, man. It's one that needs to be heard.
Yeah,
you know,
no doubt.
So that you get a chance to read the book, man. So no I appreciate doubt. That.
Yeah. Where's the best place we can buy the book?
On Amazon.com. On Amazon, as usual.
Amazon,
you know,
okay.
Yeah, if you can't get any, I mean, what can't you get on Amazon, Amazon except toilet paper right now?
True. I want to make sure you get yours, you know. I want to find the best place where you can buy it. So
yeah, but don't use my book to wipe your ass. Don't be a hey, DJ. Watch yourself now. What? Don't be. I'll jump on a plane.
That's where he was going.
Wipe me.
To the white meat.
To the white meat. Don't be using my book to wipe your ass out there now.
Man, first and foremost, you know, and I remember you telling me this story right before you went on a, I think it was prior to a Super Bowl, and you had a media tour, and you were discussing this, and I appreciate you being candid here with us, and more than anything, you know, we love you to death, man.
So yeah, we do.
No doubt. Mutual, baby. No doubt. Mutual.
We like to... When you say you're a survivor, that's the best thing we could hear. So that's really. That's
I'm
really
still good. Here, baby. I'm not going anywhere.
Are. Yes, you are, man.
I'm talking about six. I'm talking about
next time you're in the tank, you need to do it in person.
Well, shit. You know, I mean, you guys, you know, Dolphins picked you up. I mean, I know there's probably some money in the budget for a fucking plane ticket. I'm paying two college tuitions, and I got to ask. As a matter of fact, that you want me to get the fuck? You want me to get down there? You know who you need to call. Because she loves her some set. Wifey loves her some set.
Paul Sessi,
wifey. We need Nuki for the weekend. Just don't mention OJ's name because then she's going to be like, hell no. All right,
what?
All right. OJ, I don't even mean to blow your spot up like that. I'm just saying, me and OJ had fun when we was down there. It was good. It was all good.
Man, how many times you used my name and I wasn't even involved, Luke? How many times you used my name and I wasn't even involved?
How the fuck you think I got in everywhere? I said,
it's a different time. It's a different time.
Hey, Seth, the funniest part was I get down there. I'm like, yo, OJ didn't tell you I was coming? And they were like, you know, OJ? I'm like, yeah, I'm Ray Lucas, the quarterback. And half the people like didn't know who the fuck I was anyway. And they were like, oh, no, OJ. Okay, come on.
That's
in.
It.
Ray was coming. And then OJ get to call and be like, yo, man, what's up with this Lucas character kid? And OJ be like, Luke, you got to stop using my goddamn name. I was like, I ain't stopping shit. It get me in everywhere. I'm getting in every fucking place.
It's a VIP card for sure.
Yeah, as soon as I said his name, it was there. It was like, oh, fuck. Red ropes opened up and shit. I'm
walking right there. Yeah, right.
It's a different day and age, though, Luke. A lot has changed. A lot has changed over the years. Probably not that, but it is a different day and age.
Yeah, right.
Hey, man. But really good to see you.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you guys so much for giving me, you know, to talk and stuff like that. Your show is great. I'm a fan, you know, that of both of y'all, very much so. The love is real. You guys just do what you do. And I hope, you know, the Jets have a better season than the goddamn
finish. No. We're going to edit that part out. That's okay.
That's out of here. That's gone.
We're going to edit that last part out.
No fucking editing, Seth. Then we'll talk about that shit at the end of the season, all right? That's how we do. You know what I mean? You guys know what you got to do. I will say this, though. The Dolphins head coach, you could have made a better decision. The guy's the real deal. I mean, to see what he's done, like, especially with big-name players, like, you know, you trade your franchise safety / cornerback to the Steelers because he don't want to be there because he said, I don't want to be a part of a loser, and he gets him the fuck out of there. That's a real coach. That's real. Like, and they responded. You know what I mean? They were like, oh, the Dolphins are going to tank. I said, everybody said it to me, Juice. I'm like, do you know when there's grown men in that locker room that this is their life?
They don't get it, man. They don't get it.
I'm not laying down for a fucking first. Are you crazy? I'm not putting all this work in for some dude I don't even know is going to get drafted the next year. I'm putting the work in now. We want to win now. And they responded to him. I think he's going to make a difference. I mean, he's already has made a huge difference down there.
Yep.
But if you don't have a good head coach, you're not going to be good because you take on the persona of your head coach. You know
you
what I mean?
The kind of guy you
like that with Parcells. I mean, he is that. I think he's that good. I just think he's that good. Plus, he's that tough dude from where he's from, New York City. So
yeah,
you know, you talk about the white meat set. Fuck around with him a little bit, see what happens.
He might be spitting ketchup.
He might be spitting ketchup.
Coach Flores might be spitting ketchup.
Hey Seth, spitting ketchup quick, fast, and in a fucking hurry.
Oh man, we miss you, Luke. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, you guys have a good one.
It's great to have you.
Always a pleasure. Hey,
thanks for diving in, Luke, man. Thanks for diving in, brother.
OJ, you got to bring me back. Don't forget at the end of the season, then we'll have our shit talk.
We will.
You know what I mean? Is that cool?
It's gonna be a one-sided story, though, Luke. It's gonna be
It's gonna be my side.
A reservation in Ravens computer right now. Side. Okay, can we reserve Ravens computer right now for the end of the season?
End of the season reserve. Well, I bought this shit. I don't need to be reserved. I paid.
Yeah,
for
but if shit. She's not there, we can't turn it on.
Well, no, don't worry about that. I mean, this will be here regardless where the fuck she at. I'll be right here with the bedboard. That doesn't get used, and then we talk.
All right, Luke.
All right, guys.
Love you, Luke. Thanks, bro.
All right, you got it.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rocking with OJ and Seth when we dive up in that fish tank. Fans with attitude. Okay, this one for them diehards. Celebrate big or cry hard. Leave it all on the field, we gon' try hard. Old school, a new school, mix it in. Feeling like we up close when we listening. Dolphins tales, in Miami is the deep end. We vibing with our favorite players, no secret. We get with Seth and McDuffie. Bringing up stories we never heard to the public. Bet we love it, Dolphins fans never budget. We loyal to the team, whether happy or we upset. We be like, what's next? Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. And if you ready for that water, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. And if you down with Dolphins Nation, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fins. You looking at that fish tank, it's time to dive in. Fish tank. Go get your aqua orange, yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rockin' with OJ and Seth, time to dive up in that fish tank.